Hi, I'm Abby Rosenblum, founder of Social Modern Matchmaking and your host of Ghosted, a podcast about making dating easy and fun again so you can find your boo. Get it? We'll talk with dating experts, coaches, and real clients of mine and single people from around the world. Stick around for corny jokes, dating advice, and deep dives into the psychology behind finding love.
Welcome back to the Ghosted Podcast. Kind of crazy. Feel like I need to pinch myself that I'm back here. You know, I think the last episode I recorded was sometime at the end of March, and here we are at the beginning of July, and I have gone through some big changes in my life. I now have a son. Someone's going to call me mom one day when he starts talking, which is wild. And it's kind of perfect timing for this episode because I have a great guest today. We're going to talk about life transitions, big changes in life, how you can make the most of those things, because that's exactly what she does. So Macy Chance is here with me today. Thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm super excited to be with you. And what an honor to be with you on your first day back.
I mean, I don't think I could pick anyone else to do this because I knew we were going to have some fun and we could probably make this a very long podcast if we wanted to, but we'll keep it short and sweet for the people. Give them what they want.
Sounds good.
So let me read just a quick intro, Macy, so that people know who they're dealing with here and the fun that they need to get ready for. So for those of you who don't know Macy, she's a realtor in the Denver, Colorado metro area who's not only skilled at helping anyone with their real estate transactions, but her own story has put her on a path to specialize in providing support and guidance for those going through divorce in need of selling their marital home and finding a home to start their new chapter. I promise I'll be a little rusty today, but we'll make it through. Her strengths lie in her ability to transform a process typically filled with fear, uncertainty, and monumental challenge to one full of courage, ease, and abundant opportunity. Sign me up. Oh my God.
Doesn't that sound good?
It sounds great. I feel like we might like to start, give people some background of, you know, what kind of drew you to want to help people going through divorce and kind of starting anew, because you know, that is a tough place sometimes to meet people.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really starts with the way my personal life kind of combined with my professional life. So I went through divorce about 9 years ago. And it was a super, of course, tumultuous time. When we decided to divorce, my immediate thought was I wanted to sell my marital home. I just knew I didn't want to be in that house. And so like a lot of people do, my first call was to my realtor. She was really instrumental in helping guide me through the process. I had never made a major purchase on my own because I had been with my ex-husband since I was 21 years old. And even my first car, I purchased with him in my life. And so it was super scary, overwhelming, lots of fear. And, you know, I had a good team around me of people to really guide me through it. So we sold my home. I purchased a new home. I have two daughters that are now 21 and 18, and so the three of us moved into this new home together, and then, you know, my personal story kind of took off from there and went through a whole, you know, transition like you do. Your whole life changes. And then professionally, I was working. My background is systems and process. I was helping small businesses with their operations and started working for a gentleman who owned a real estate company and just absolutely fell in love with real estate, learned a ton about it, got my license, and then decided that I really wanted to focus on helping people go through this challenging time and be who I needed at the time. And, you know, somebody to really just provide that guidance for me.
Right. And there's something really to having someone who gets what you're going through or is even going through it at the same time. You know, it kind of doesn't matter what big life transition it is. But, you know, when you're going through that process, having someone to say, here, I'll lead the way and show you how.
Right.
You know, I would think, you know, a lot of the people you encounter, are they kind of like, okay, I don't even know where to begin?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagine, you know, kind of how you feel. It's your second day or whatever back at work. And it's like, you're just overwhelmed.
Third day.
Yeah, I guess it's Friday already. But, you know, you're encountering things that you didn't ever have to encounter before. You know, you've got a baby now and you've got other things, you know, you've got new things that you're dealing with. And so, you know, when you're going through divorce, it's the same thing. You're like, wow, I'm doing this all on my own now. And how do I do that? And to have somebody, you know, in your corner, whether it's, you know, another friend of yours that's got a baby that's maybe 6 months older and like, yes, I totally remember. Here's what I did and here's how I handled that. And the same thing with divorce. Like, yes, I totally remember those feelings of going out with my couple's friends and being the only, feeling like the third or the fifth wheel, because, you know, those are all new things that happen. And then to be able to talk to somebody, be like, yep, it's hard. I get it. Validating, you know. And so it's just nice to have a team of people, and particularly when you're going through the real estate process, just because, like, just like I was, you're doing it by yourself, and you know, regardless of how many times you've done it, it's just nice to have somebody with you who's been there, done that, and understands. Obviously, there's a lot of legal stuff around it too, and have that expertise, but to have that support is so important.
Right. And we can think about it how it applies to dating too. Like you said, you know, if you're the only single one among your couple friends, like, they're probably not going to understand dating or what it's like now if they've been in a relationship for a while. So, yeah. You know, we got to host a really fun event earlier this year where we did get to bring single women together. And I feel like there was some camaraderie that formed of people were like, hey, we're single, we should go out together. It makes it so much easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so awesome to be in that room of women who were really where I was, you know, 10 years ago or 9 years ago, I guess. And that wide-eyed, like, I know I want to do it better this time. I know I want to be in a good relationship. And just, where do you start? And then to have people around you and watching the way they were interacting with each other and just knowing that I'm not alone on this journey. I can relate, and I can commiserate and get validated, and all those things was awesome to see. It was such a great event that we did.
I know. Got to pat ourselves on the back for that one.
And yeah.
More to come, everybody. So stay
yes.
tuned.
Yes.
And, you know, Macy, what were some of the biggest things that helped you when you started dating again, you know, looking back at that time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the event that we did was titled, I think, something like Date Yourself First. And that's, I was really needing to do that, because I had, you know, I was starved for attention and affection when I got out of my marriage and got into a relationship pretty quickly. That was like way too soon, way too soon for that. And really, you know, I had to learn how to give myself what I needed before I could jump into a relationship with somebody else. It's like that trying to be filled from the outside when you really need to figure out, how do I fill from within? And so that was really the start of my journey. I mean, I needed to heal from my divorce. I needed to heal from the, you know, the hurt and the pain that came from that, and learn to trust myself and learn how, you know, it was like, why did I make those mistakes? Why did I allow certain things to happen? What happened to my boundaries? What, you know, what happened to my self-worth? And really diving in and figuring out how do I get that back? And so for me, getting really grounded in that was super important. And that's why I love, you know, the work that you do, because you want people to be at that place before you're even working with them. You know, they've got to do that work, because you can't heal. There's healing that happens in a relationship, but it's not going to be super successful if you haven't done some of that work on your own.
Right. Yeah. If you try to heal like during a relationship, that's just going to be messy for everybody. Yes. It even reminds me, I've been, you know, reconnecting with all my clients, you know, because I've been so excited just the past few days. I'm like, everyone talk to me. What's happened while I'm gone? And, you know, I had one client who, you know, will remain anonymous, but we can tell his story of, you know, when we started working together before I left, you know, his last relationship was high school. He had not been on a date in a really long time. He wasn't even sure where to begin, what to dress, what to say. And right. He kind of did 3 months of coaching and practice before I left, and we said, okay, we'll pause real quick. I'll go have a baby, and we'll come back, and then we'll do all the dates. And I come back, and he's like, oh, by the way, I have a girlfriend. And I'm like, yep. This is what it's all about. Look at all
Absolutely.
That healing, that work we did. Yep. You didn't even need me to set you up on a date. I kind of love when my job happens for me.
Well, I mean, it's such an important part. I mean, I can totally see how that works, is you – just heal. You heal yourself, and then you become the person that you want to be, and you become the best version of yourself, and then you're attracting, you know, the right person. So that's exciting. That's exciting that happened. I love to hear that.
I know. It's like, you know, obviously we love to share the success stories too. And, you know, of course there are clients I've come back and they're still single and that's also fine. But, you know, I think a big thing with a lot of my single clients too, like we kind of mentioned, is, you know, if you don't feel like you have a ton of single friends that you can kind of like commiserate with or just do single things with, you know, having a matchmaker or some kind of outlet like that where you feel like, okay, I'm not alone. I know there's hundreds of other single people that Abby has that she's working with. It kind of helps where you're like, okay, it's not just me. Kind of going back to like everything we were talking about of having that kind of like support group. Maybe this is a new thing I should start, dating support groups where I put a bunch of singles in a room and maybe other things happen besides just supporting each other. Who knows?
100% yes to a support group. It is probably the best thing that you can do is just be around people that are going through like-minded people. You know, you don't want to get into the victim-y mode and this whole like, you know, there's something wrong with everybody else. I mean, you know, there takes a certain amount of vulnerability. You got to be able to look inward to try to really, you know, figure out what needs to be healed still, you know, instead of blaming it on somebody else. And sometimes it's somebody else's fault too. But but yes, I love the idea of a support group for sure.
Yeah, and I guess send me a message if you want to get that started. We can make it happen.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, my journey, it was 5 years until I met my now husband. I mean, I needed that time to heal. I was a single mom. You know, I didn't have the weekends. My ex-husband didn't live in town, so I had my kids full-time all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took me a while to really just, first of all, feel like I could spend the time on myself like that and dating and give, you know, know that, okay, my girls are stabilized and I'm good to start dating. But, you know, there was one gentleman I dated who was really unhappy that I didn't have every other weekend to myself or the 5-2-2-5 or whatever anybody else had. And he was just like, how are we ever going to see each other? And I'm like, guess we're not a fit. You know, this is my life. I have my kids full time. Right. Instead of contorting myself and feeling bad that I couldn't give him what he wanted, it was like, well, that's just, you know, we're not the right fit. So.
Right. And did you find in dating it was easier to date other people who also had kids and kind of understood what you were going through?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, there was a couple times when I would go out on dates, not like anything long term, where they didn't have kids because I was like, oh, let me see what that's like. And yeah, no, not the right. You know, it's not to say I know plenty of people who have kids that are dating or with people that don't have kids and it works fine for them. For me, it wasn't going to work, especially because I had my kids full time. I mean, they needed to really be understanding of that and know what it's like to have kids. That was my personal preference.
Right. I noticed that a lot too. It's definitely a theme, especially I think more so with like moms than with dads, because I feel like there is, you know, obviously kind of that double standard as much as we want to avoid it. But, you know, I think it's that shared life experience that is really important. Even right now, you know, I have a guy that I've been sending on some dates and, you know, he has a kid and has been dating some women who don't, and their lives are almost in way different places where it's hard for like them to resonate with like, oh, that's what your weekend's like.
Life is very different. Exactly. Exactly. And not to say that it won't work, but it definitely, there has to be a ton of communication around it and understanding and an acceptance that, you know, if you're the person without the kids, my life is going to have to revolve around kids because that's just how it is. So if that's not going to work for you, then you got to move on.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like I have this whole new perspective now, you know, with my clients who have children. I'm like, oh, I didn't fully realize how like entirely consuming this is to have a child. You're like, what did I do before? Like, did I have free time and how did I spend it? Like, I don't even remember.
See, it makes you forget. You just forget about those things so that you don't lament and go, why did I do this? You just forget about it and move on. And this is your new normal.
It's almost like when we got a dog, we were like, wait, what? How did we spend our weekends before? Because like we were then all focused on the dog, going on hikes, going to the dog park. So, you know, you just give all of your free time to everyone else.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And finding the time, you know, you'll figure out, and as we all do, you know, we will figure out how to make that time for ourselves. And that was really when I started dating. I really was like, okay, I've put a lot of effort and energy into my kids and making sure that they were getting what they needed, and found little bits of ways to give myself the self-care in the midst of that. But for me, the next step really was I knew I wanted to be in a relationship with somebody, and I knew I wanted that camaraderie and that partnership. And so when I was finally feeling like I was healed, I felt like my kids were in a great place. And then I was like, all right, I'm ready. Let's bring it on.
So that moment where you're like, I'm ready. How did you start dating? How were you meeting people?
Okay, so this is a funny story. It was actually told at my wedding, which is hilarious. So I had gone on a vacation with some of my very best girlfriends. We went to Europe together in the end of 2018. I had been divorced for almost 5 years at that point, a little over 5 years, or a little less than 5 years. And while we were on our trip, you know, we have, of course, all these deep conversations and, you know, all that. And I was like, I just got hit with, okay, I think I'm ready. You know, my oldest daughter started driving, so that made a huge difference. You know, that's just this phase of life where you're like, oh, I don't have to drive my kids everywhere now. I've got my kid can take my other kid somewhere and she can take herself. So anyway, I just felt like this freedom, and I felt like, all right, I think I'm ready to do this. And but I knew myself because I had dated in fits and starts from, you know, for here and there. And, you know, a lot of it was just circumstantial, but I'd be like, I'd put myself on the apps for a month and be like, oh, this is exhausting. I don't want to do it anymore. And I'd take myself off. And, you know, I'm sure plenty of people do that. But this time I was like,
you are definitely not the only one. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Because it's just all consuming and exhausting. And, you know, at the time I was in my 40s, and like, where do you meet people? You know, it's so hard to meet people. The dating apps are really like the best way, at least I felt like. And I had done dating coaching, and I worked with a dating coach that helped me create this fulfillment list of what it was that I wanted. And, you know, I worked with a matchmaker for a little while and did all those things. And
not me, unfortunately. I wasn't back then.
No, you were not around back then. I wish you were. I wish you were.
Well, I was alive, but like, yes, not a matchmaker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm glad you were alive, and I'm glad you're providing the service that you are now, because it really is honest. I mean, I'm not just saying this. If I had known that you, someone like you existed, I would have been a no-brainer.
Oh, but hopefully you never need my services.
No. We're done with that. But yeah, so I was like, all right, how do I do this? And so just knowing myself, I set a goal for the beginning of for the first quarter of 2019, I was going to go on 12 dates, so one date a week. And I held myself to that. And then I met my husband on my third date. So he was all the rest of the dates, which was cute. But it was one of those things where I think just the journey that took me to him and who I became in that journey, it was like, we had met for coffee on a Sunday, and then went out again for dinner that following Friday. And by Sunday morning, he said, I'm canceling all of my other dates. I want to see where things go with you. And I was a little bit freaked out just because I have an anxious attachment, and was like, okay, this is really scary, but I feel a big yes about this. And so we've been together ever since, and got married last October.
Oh, congrats. I love that.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think it's important to share these stories, too, because everyone thinks it goes a certain way for everyone. Do you feel like it was love at first sight? I always like to ask that, now looking back on it.
Yeah, I mean, if I look back on it, it was definitely connection at first sight. And I remember texting one of my girlfriends who was with me on that Europe trip, you know, so she was supporting me on that journey. She wasn't single, but she had been. She was about 2 years ahead of me in the divorce journey, and she had met her partner and all that. So I texted her and I said, that's the most refreshing first date I have ever had. And so that's, you know, and then, you know, it just went from there. So I don't know about love at first sight. I think what I learned from that was, because I would go on these dates and I'd be like, I don't know if I like them. I mean, I guess I like them. But what I learned from that date is it's either a hell yes or it's a no. If you're like, I don't know, that's a no. So that was like, oh, all those times I spent worrying, like, do I like this guy? Do I not? It's like, if I'd have just known that this is what this is, you just know that that's a no. It just has to be a hell yes. So it was a hell yes. It was refreshing and probably a little bit of love in there somewhere, but I don't know about love at first sight, but probably something right. like that.
I know. I feel like, you know, I'm kind of a hater on the whole love at first sight thing, but I always like to ask about it just because I'm like, you know, how can you know the second yeah. you meet someone? You know, I'm yeah. a little worried about you. If you're like, oh my God, I'm in love. I'm like, okay, let's have you call your therapist and see what's going on there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right.
You can know like, whoa, that was really awesome.
Well, and here's the cool thing about this creating this fulfillment list that I did was because I would get Twitter pated. You know, I'd be like, you know, I'd go out on a date with a guy. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, there's so much connection. Well, there would be sexual chemistry. There'd be chemistry. But so my brain would start getting all like, oh, this is so great. But I'd be like, but I don't know what I don't know if there's anything else that there's a match. Well, then I would look at my, you know, now that I have this fulfillment list, I'm like, I needed that structure to go, does he meet these things? And so I had the chemistry, I had that connection with him. And then I was like, all right, let's time to pull out the fulfillment list. Is this who I want? Is this what I said I wanted when I was in this super grounded state? And he was. There were two things on my list that he did not have. One, he's not a skier. I wanted a skier, which mm-hmm. is fine. You make compromises. And he wasn't a Denver Broncos fan. But he's a football fan. He's a 49ers fan. I was like, all right, those two things I can compromise on.
Right. Like, you know, I'm glad that you compromised on those things because you can definitely yeah. get around it. But, you know, I do feel like that probably resonates with some listeners because people that come to me will sometimes say like, hey, they got to be a skier or if they're not as outdoorsy as me, it won't work. But you know, if you don't have the exact same interests, it kind of keeps a relationship a little bit more interesting in my
opinion. Right, right. Yeah, and if there's enough other things, I mean, if there's a lot of other things and there's that, then it's like probably not going to work. But if all the other things that was for me, it was like all the other things were in alignment, everything else, you know, the family piece, the religious piece, the spirituality piece, you know, all of that was all aligned. And then it was like those two things. I'm like, I can live with that. That's no problem. And he's like, sure, I'll try skiing and I'll go to Broncos games with you. He's like, I won't cheer for them if they're playing the 49ers, but I'll cheer for them if they're not.
See, exactly. You know, I think you'd be really boring if you dated your exact clone. And it is kind of funny because people will come to me and they'll start describing themselves as their ideal partner. And I'm like, I don't think that's who you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want somebody who's exactly like you.
I want to come back to this whole idea of kind of finding purpose after yes. a life transition, just because I'm sure there are many people listening who maybe have gone through divorce or a breakup or a move or, you know, anything, any of those things can be considered a transition where you feel like you have to kind of change your mindset or your mentality or your outlook. So, you know, Macy, what would be your advice when people are like, okay, my whole life was shaken up mm-hmm. and I'm trying to find this purpose again. Maybe before their purpose wasn't there either, you know? So right. where would people begin?
So a couple things. One, the analogy I always use, and I remember having a conversation with somebody and said, it's like my life was on a game board and somebody came along and just came from underneath and popped the whole thing up. All the pieces went flying everywhere. And the whole game board changed. You know, mm-hmm. I was playing life and now I'm playing Monopoly or whatever. And so it's like that shakeup thing. So everything changes. And I think I was in survival mode for so long. I feel like when we come out of transition or we're in the midst of transition and we're trying to figure out where do all those pieces go, you know, where do I live? What are my kids going to do? You know, how am I going to function with these new parameters and new changes in my life? And so you're in a little bit of survival mode. And I always get like I've always hated when people said, like, you need to find your purpose. And it's just because I feel like it's so shame-filled. It's so like, you have to do this. And if you don't, you know, you're not a good person. And for me, it was just the journey. And I think my purpose came to me as I really started paying attention, as I started getting more grounded, I started getting out of survival mode, doing more self-awareness work, you know, doing more therapy, all of that. And I really got hit at one point with, oh my God, this is what I want to do. I want to help people going through divorce, you know, with through this transition, because I've been there and done that. And it was just an alignment thing. I wasn't looking for it, but it kind of found me. And I think the journey to get there is really about understanding who you are and what makes you tick, you know, and what makes you happy, and where do you feel, what are situations that are life giving versus life sucking?
That's such a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's when you know, and when you start to pay attention to those things, things can become a lot more clear, and you get a lot more, you get a lot more in alignment with what it is that you want. What do you want to be doing? And what do you don't want to be doing? Well, you know, what's not a fit for you? So for me, it was this combination of the real estate piece with the divorce piece. It was a huge yes from me to be able to do that. And it feels like my purpose. It feels like every time I'm in conversations with people, whether they have real estate or not, you know, but real estate to sell or buy or not, like, I can be such a resource, and that feels so good. You know, I've got you who I can refer people to when they're ready to start dating. I've got, you know, mediators, divorce attorneys, lenders, therapists, coaches, you know, all of that, which are all the things that you need, all the people that are part of your team to help you, to help get you through this. And so my purpose became, how do I be who I needed at the time? And how can I provide these resources to people of really good quality individuals and professionals that truly care about what they're doing?
Oh, yeah. And I love that. You know, if you're listening, even if you're like, hey, I don't need to buy a place right now or sell a place, Macy has all these amazing resources outside of that too. So if people are listening, they're like, I need to get in touch with Macy. Maybe you can hear my baby crying in the background. I don't know. If you can, you're welcome. Just a little pizzazz we add to the podcast.
Exactly.
Macy, how can they get in touch with you?
So I can be found MacyChance.com, Macy Chance Realtor on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as Macy Chance, Facebook, Macy Chance Realtor. My email is Macy@livelaughdenver.com. That's the name of my brokerage. And you should be able to find me that way.
Perfect. And I always like to end these episodes with a little extra words of wisdom. So hopefully keep people hanging around to get some juicy stuff.
Sure.
What else would you want to impart to our single listeners before we sign off?
Well, for everybody who knows Glennon Doyle, I'm a huge fan of hers. Behind me on my sign, we can do hard things. I mean, when you're in the midst of really, really hard things, you feel like you can't do it, but you actually can, and you will come out a stronger, better version of yourself on the other side.
Mic drop, best way to end this episode. We can do hard things, even like take care of newborn babies, but my husband's
exactly
doing that, so we're good. I don't have to run.
He's got it.
Yes. So thank you, Macy, for joining me. This was a great episode back after a long time, and I can't wait to see you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Abby.
Disclaimer: this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. The stories and statements expressed herein are experiences and opinions. They may not represent the views of the production studio or the hosts. If you disagree with our content, that's okay. No podcast is perfect for everyone.